Chapter 4, 10 $1 Bills. With everything that happened in my spiritual life during the month of March, I finally felt prepared for the trip to Nicaragua. I had turned the bridge project completely over to God, received an answer from Bridges to Prosperity, and had finished the faith message. But less than 2 weeks before my first trip to Nicaragua, an unfortunate accident had left a friend lying in a hospital bed with a fractured neck. Richard was lucky to be alive after crashing his motorcycle in a shallow ditch off Highway 555 near Blythewood, narrowly avoiding a head-on collision with an oncoming car. My friendship with Richard originated at the baseball fields in Blythewood when our sons started playing t-ball. They had even played on the same team 2 seasons. Most of our conversations centered on baseball, though a few years back we discussed his job and a building expansion at the large distribution center where he worked, and how the power was going to be routed to serve the new expansion. But now it was much more serious than baseball or electricity. The doctors did not know how much damage had been done to the vertebrae in his neck or the recovery prognosis. After finishing supper on a Wednesday night, I decided to go and visit Richard and his family at the hospital. I planned to stop by the store to pick up a few items for my wife, Cynthia, and purchase a Get Well card for Richard. But just before leaving, I heard his voice say, "Take them 10 $1 bills." I was startled. I almost asked the Lord why now, because I had never shared that story with anyone, not even my dad. And why, after 20 years, would the Lord be telling me to share that blessing now, with this family, and not with a relative who might better understand its meaning? So, not wanting to feel foolish, I told Cynthia what I planned to do. She gave me a bewildered look of, "That sounds kind of weird." But without her having to say a word, I started explaining its personal significance. In 1989, during the week of Thanksgiving, my mother was in the hospital, quickly losing her battle with breast cancer. After being in remission for almost 2 years, it had come back, but this time it was deemed terminal. As a 20-year-old young adult, this news was hard to take, especially with the upcoming Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays. That Monday night, my Uncle Robert, my dad's brother, and I walked out of the hospital together, and as we stopped at his car in the parking lot, he turned to me with a very serious look and told me words that I will never forget. He said, "Tommy, your mother loves you very much, and the only reason she is still alive today is because of wanting to see you. But we both know she's not going to get any better, so you have to pray to God for him to take her home now." There, standing in the middle of that hospital parking lot, I prayed the hardest prayer I have ever prayed in my entire life. The next day, the extended family was called in for one last visit. As I sat alone in the waiting room studying, trying not to flunk out of my junior year at Clemson, the family members from Richburg and Edgemore arrived. As each cousin passed by me to speak, my Aunt Ethel stopped and handed me an envelope. Though it was the first card I had received while at the hospital, I was not surprised, since she was always doing special things for people. I was a little curious as she stood in front of me while I opened the envelope, almost waiting to see my reaction as I read the card for the first time. As I pulled the card from the envelope and opened it to read, there appeared before my eyes some dollar bills. As I counted them, there were exactly 10. 10 $1 bills. I softly exclaimed, "Thank you," though my face may have still had the look of surprise on it. Smiling from ear to ear, she simply replied, "You're going to be here all week, and sometimes you may not be able to find change for the drink or cracker machine." That was it. Though not the biggest or most expensive gift I had ever received, exactly what I needed at that moment, which admittedly was one of the lowest in my young adult life. Just a simple gift that said, "Hey, I care about you." It had been over 20 years, but I remembered receiving that card with those 10 $1 bills from my aunt like it was yesterday. And even though those 10 $1 bills meant so much to me back then, I had never felt the need to ever share that blessing with anyone else until now. Not stopping to ask any more questions, I was convinced that now was the time to finally share that blessing with another person and their family who may need just a simple expression of, "Hey, I care." As I finished telling Cynthia the story, she was speechless. I told her I knew I had never shared that story with her, and frankly didn't remember sharing it with anyone else either. It was just a special moment that was significant to me, but no one else would ever find it meaningful unless they had been there that day. So there it was, the story of the 10 $1 bills, brought back to life for the first time in over 20 years. Though at the time I had no idea why, a smile consumed me just thinking about the surprise on Richard's face when he would open the card. Making people smile, that's what I enjoy most in life. Just as I had planned already, I stopped by the store in Blythewood to pick up a few items and a get well card for Richard. Taking time to pick out the right card was somewhat important, but remembering to get cash back at the checkout counter, including asking the cashier for 10 $1 bills, was top priority. So, as I stepped in line behind a few others, I went ahead and took out my wallet to make sure I pulled out my debit card and not the credit card, like I'm in the habit of doing. I admit I was a bit nervous, even wondering if the cashier would even question why I was asking for 10 $1 bills and a 10. I worried about what she would think of me for making such a strange request. So here I go once again, worrying about what people would be thinking about me for doing something out of the ordinary. "Next, please," was the phrase the cashier used to get my attention. As I pushed my items forward, I placed the Get Well card on top of the box of cake rolls, a staple food item for me and my son, Jordan. As she finished scanning the last few items, she politely asked me, "Anything else?" As I swiped my debit card, I was careful to remember to select the cash back option when prompted on the touch screen. Asking for cash back was something I did only once in a blue moon, if even that often. Cash back, select, $20, select, done. As she went to access her cash drawer, I promptly spoke up and said, "I would like a 10 and 10 $1 bills, please." I admit, she did give me a slight look of strange, but pulled out her ones and counted out 10, then grabbed a 10 and the register receipt and handed them to me and politely told me, "Thank you." Driving down the interstate, my thoughts raced forward to the hospital visit with Richard and his family. What would I say? What questions would I ask? But more importantly, at what point during my visit would I give him the card with those 10 $1 bills inside? And if he opened it immediately in front of everyone, how would they react when they saw the 10 $1 bills? And what would they think about the meaning? As I pulled into the Richland Memorial Hospital parking lot, I quickly put all of those thoughts in the back of my mind and pulled myself together, since just thinking about what I was about to do brought back so many painful memories for me. But just remembering what a small blessing those 10 $1 bills were to me back then, and now, over 20 years later, feeling led to finally share that blessing with a friend, that brought a smile to my face. Finally finding a parking spot, I pulled out my wallet and counted out 10 $1 bills, carefully arranging them in the card. I wrote a little note explaining their meaning and placed the card in the envelope. But before I could seal it, I heard his voice again say, "Give them the rest." So without even hesitating, I pulled the card back out and inserted the $10 bill with the other bills and sealed the envelope. Entering the hospital, I was so nervous about the card, I almost didn't remember his last name when prompted by the receptionist at the desk. Luckily, Richard's last name is a lot like his first, so I recalled it quickly. I clutched the envelope as I made my way up to his room, all the way trying not to forget the room number. Upon entering his room, I was surprised to see him sitting up in bed and with no broken limbs, though he wore a neck brace to keep his head from turning. His wife, Jeannie, and son, Jacob, were in the room, along with another lady who I believe was Jeannie's sister. He looked surprised to see me, but at the same time, glad to see a friend from the baseball field. I talked with them for about 20 minutes, mostly with Jeannie, about his neck injury, possible surgery, and recovery. The outcome looked very promising, considering how close Jenny said he came to being paralyzed. The paramedics told them that one wrong turn of his neck at the accident scene and the broken vertebrae would have severed his spinal cord, causing irreversible damage. Jenny told me that even though he didn't have any external injuries from the accident, the paramedics at the accident scene that evening took all the right precautions with him. She thanked God for the right people being there that evening. Checking my watch for the fourth time, I told them I had to be at choir practice at 7:45 p.m. since we were singing at the Cedar Creek Baptist Church on Monday night. So, as I said my final goodbye, I slowly pulled out the envelope. I could see Jenny's eyes immediately focus on it, so I quickly handed it to her. I told them it wasn't much, and they never even needed to thank me for it. They thanked me for coming, and I quietly shut the door as I left, but not before taking a quick peek to see if she had begun to open the envelope. She hadn't. Making my way out to my truck, I was very nervous about what I had just done, even having thoughts of, they've opened the card and now they are looking out the window at me wondering what type of guy would do something like this. Anyways, it was done. I had followed through on what I was told to do and had passed the blessing of the $10 bills on to someone else. Seeing the look of surprise on their faces as I handed them the envelope with the card inside, well, that's a moment I knew I would not soon forget. Plus, I felt good inside for what I had done. Author's comments. Now, I know you may be wondering why this isn't the end of the book. This, my friend, is only the beginning of the journey.